This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Monday evening alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. A Monday night football-less evening. Well, not totally. We'll get into our game of the night here in just a moment. But don't fret. Next Monday, we will have an NFL playoff game. The bracket is all set, Matt, for the NFL playoffs. We, of course, have two semifinals coming up on Thursday and Friday night. Got a little smattering of college basketball, some NBA. So when you think the calendar is slowing down, it never is.
Well, it does slow down, Tim.
Never.
You know, you and I sat here last summer on many slow nights, so eventually it'll slow down, but not right now. We still have Monday Night Football. It's just on a smaller scale.
A little smaller scale.
And we got the NFL playoffs about ready to crank up, but it was a wild weekend. It always is. And when you talk about the college football playoffs and the final week of the NFL regular season, so we got a ton to talk about on this show tonight. Fortunately, we have 4 hours to do it.
We do, and we have some great guests for you. We'll talk to Josh Nunn from the Action Network, knows quite a bit about the FCS. He'll give us his insight on the FCS championship, as well as break down the two semifinals. So we'll get into that with the man they call Duck. We will also check in behind the counter with Johnny Avello, Aaron Moore, the professor, and the one and only Hoosier Wes Reynolds. Not only did his beloved Hoosiers dominate at the Rose Bowl, Matt, they're dominating in the portal. So it's been all things Hoosiers for Wes Reynolds these past couple of days.
Yeah, I look forward to talking about the Indiana-Oregon game with Wes in the final hour tonight. And, you know, if you're sick of seeing Kurt Cignetti dominate college football already, and he hasn't won a championship
yet,
but if he does, would he be interested in the Las Vegas Raiders job? Because it's open.
There's a couple other jobs open as well. The Atlanta Falcons job came open. The Arizona Cardinals job
is now open. I would love to see that, by the way,
too. The Cleveland Browns job is open.
I don't want to see that.
You want Cignetti here.
I want Cignetti in Vegas, coaching the Raiders.
Can you do his facial expressions?
How impressive would it be if within 2 years, Kurt Cignetti could lead the Raiders to like the AFC championship game? Anyway, we'll talk about that stuff
later.
You
thought it was the most impossible job to go to Indiana
right.
And be victorious.
Let's see you pull off this trick in Vegas.
Come to Vegas, follow your quarterback, draft your quarterback, number one, and get him to the playoffs here. Before we dive into our game of the night, Matt, we do have a pretty big-time college basketball game going on. Nebraska, a 33-25 lead over Ohio State. This is your classic letdown spot. Nebraska winning on Friday night. You saw the market come in on the Ohio State Buckeyes. This number got as high as 2.5. I think ultimately closed at 2. So you did get a little pushback on Nebraska. I'll be honest, I took a little money line on Ohio State at open. And
well, you're not dead yet.
Yeah, we'll see. As you've told me, it's nothing worse than hope. So our buddy David Behrman, who joins us every Tuesday, texted me today and he said, hey, I'm interested in Nebraska. I said, all right, well, I actually really like Ohio State. I think it's a good side. And I would feel bad if I talked our buddy David Behrman off of a winner here in Nebraska. But as you mentioned, 5 minutes to go, first half, and it is a 8-point lead for the undefeated Cornhuskers.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. This is what to tell people in the future when they text you and say, what do you like in a game? I like this. I say, okay, if you like that, bet it.
I'm not saying
I might be on
he's
the
not
other
mad
side.
At, he's huh? not mad at me. I'm just saying I feel bad. We'll see how it plays out.
I had somebody ask me, I'll tell the story later in the show tonight. We got more important stuff to get to, but I looked at this tonight or last night overnight. I was doing a lot of research in this Nebraska Ohio State game because very tempting to bet the Buckeyes here as 2-point favorites. It looked like a bad spot for the Cornhuskers.
Surprised you didn't.
And well, I didn't do it. And I'll tell you why, because I found a lot of holes in the Buckeyes profile that made me think they might be false favorites or let's say fragile favorites in this spot tonight. And I was going to feel like a sucker if I laid the 2 or laid the money line and lost because it looked too easy. Actually, it looked a little bit too easy to bet Ohio State.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking a shot at you because I know
fine.
A lot of people – or I know a lot of people were on Ohio State today. I just didn't do it. And, hey, look, there's a long way to go here. And, in fact, this is probably a good live betting opportunity if you still like the Buckeyes because you're down 5 late in the first half.
Yeah, I mean.
Actually, we're just down 10 a minute ago.
Yeah, you would
have. That was a better spot.
You would have chased. yesterday or early today on Ohio State because the number wasn't what it was at open. But you could have got a much better number, as we talk about all the time. So we'll see. We'll keep our eyes on this game as Nebraska is certainly one of the better stories of the early college basketball season. What a game it was. Kind of crazy at Michigan State. I love what Tom Izzo said, saying, yay, great that they stormed the floor. It was, you know, it was kind of a...
I think it was cool, too. I know Nebraska players said that, hey, we want to act like we've been there and won that, and we don't want to storm the court too often. We expect to win these games now. But it is pretty cool what's happening at Nebraska. Even a couple years ago, this team is near the bottom of the Big Ten. The mayor, Fred Hoiberg, is doing a hell of a job here to have Nebraska at this point at 14-0, 3-0 in the Big Ten. And this is really the first big test away from home tonight for the Cornhuskers.
Longest winning streak in college basketball owned by the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And we'll see if that is going to be extended later on tonight. They now have an 8-point lead. The Cornhuskers do at the under four. Well, they haven't hit the media timeout just yet, but a great start shooting wise for Nebraska. All right, Matt, let's do it. Let's get to our game of the night.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Well, if you were watching Money Moves earlier today, you were wondering, why isn't Stormy here? Well, because she's working the FCS National Championship tonight on ESPN. It is Montana State against the surprising Illinois State Redbirds, Matt. Illinois State has had to go on the road every single round of the FCS tournament, and they have pulled some big-time upsets, including going to the Fargo Dome and beating North Dakota State as an almost 3-touchdown underdog. And the Bobcats of Montana State, after knocking off their in-state rivals for the second time this year in the semifinals, they are 10 or 10.5-point favorites against the Illinois State Redbirds. Kickoff coming up in about 25 minutes or so down in Nashville, Tennessee.
You are familiar, and I know VSIN, the VSIN audience is too, with Big Randy McKay, right?
Yes.
Big Randy, swaggers out of North Dakota, is one of the greatest gamblers that ever come out of that state. Some say the greatest. He knows FCS football like the back of his hand. He's very sharp at this stuff, and Big Randy took 10.5 with Illinois State. I did see an 11 out there today, and I see one out there on the screen now, but it's a faraway book that most people probably don't have access to. So 10.5 is probably the number you're going to get if you're going to bet the dog tonight. I do want to mention here, too, that Kenny White, as part of the Circa Friday Football Invitational, played Illinois State plus 10 and played this game under the total of 56. And Weston Stratman, the original Average Joe, who lives in Nashville, texted me last night and said, you're not going to believe Broadway in Nashville. It's being overrun by Montana State fans. So they're turning this into like a home game for Montana State. So if that matters to you, just keep that in mind. Kenny and Big Randy both thought this was too many points to give a dog, and this is going to be a tight, lower scoring type of game. I did not play it. I've considered playing the dog here, but I'll tell you what, I've been really impressed by Montana State. I've watched the Bobcats last two playoff games, Tim, and I said this before. I felt like Montana State was getting better quarterback play than I saw from half the teams in the Big Ten this season. And this is a pretty impressive team. I think Montana State's probably a little bit too good to lose this game tonight, but it's tempting to take the 10.5. I have not done it. Did you?
I did not. I took a little future on Montana State. They were about plus 120 prior to their game against Montana in the semifinals. And the way I looked at it, once again, I'm not a big FCS bettor, but I looked at the situation. I said, well, if they win this game, what's the spread going to be in the championship? And Illinois State ultimately won the game. I just want to point this out to folks, though, regarding Illinois State, what run this has been. So they opened up. The FCS tournament has 24 teams. They were in the opening round. They did not get a bye. They were on the road at Southeast Louisiana. They were 2.5-point underdogs in the first round. Won that game 21-3. I mentioned the game they went to the Fargo Dome, took on the number one seed in North Dakota State. Won that game crazy, 29-28. They were 23.5-point underdogs at the Fargo Dome. Yep. They followed that up. They went to UC Davis. They were 3-point underdogs against the Aggies of UC Davis. They won that game 42-31. And then in the semifinals, Matt, They took on Villanova, traveled to Philadelphia against the Wildcats. They actually closed as the favorite, flip of favorites there, and they won that game 30-14. They've been on the road. They've been traveling like crazy, and they've had time off. Regardless of what happens tonight, this is a incredible story, and you just don't see it all that much in the FCS, like an underdog story like this. So it's a pretty cool story to see the Redbirds of Illinois State, who, by the way, lost their regular season finale by 30. And now here they are in the national championship.
Did they lose by 30?
Yeah. So it is, it's pretty impressive to see the turnaround for Illinois State, who wrapped up the regular season losing to Southern Illinois 37-7. And now they're in the national championship.
That is pretty impressive. Brock Spack, I think an all Big Ten linebacker at Purdue in the 1980s, is a coach for Illinois State. But like you said, this team can win any style. They can win low-scoring games, or they can win shootouts like they did against UC Davis. The total, total up to 57.5 at Circa right now. When we did the show Friday night, the total was 56. So a little bit looks like sharp money on the over, actually, contrary to Kenny White's play.
Taco Dowler, certainly a name to know.
Great name.
He is. It is a good name. Wonder if he likes tacos. 914 receiving yards.
Did Looking you ever for- consider you and your wife ever talk about when you bantered names around? Did you talk about Taco as a potential name?
How do you know that my son's name isn't Taco? I've never said his name on the air. It is not Taco.
It's Tommy. Thank you.
Tommy the Taco. Well, let's talk more about the FCS National Championship game as well as the two semifinals. Duck, the man known as Joshua Nunn from the Action Network, will join us next right here on VSIN Primetime.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime alongside Matt Newmans. I'm Tim Murray. I need to get a little story time from Matt from the late night craziness at Viejas over the weekend. But we'll do that a little bit later because we got more pressing issues. Our game of the night is the FCS National Championship. I just saw our colleague Stormy Bonantoni. I think she was talking to the Dowler brothers, your new favorite wide receiver, Taco Dowler.
Stormy talking with Taco. That was a great pregame show tonight for the Monday Night Football version of FCS championship game.
I do love the fact that it is on Monday night here. It gives them a little bit more shine. Sometimes, I remember a couple years ago, they had to go head-to-head with NFL games. I was like, what are we doing here? Right. But a gentleman who loves to break down the FCS, he's done it with me a number of times on the VSIN College Football Tailgate show is the man they call Duck at Step on a Duck One on Twitter. Joshua Nunn from the Action Network joins us right now. And Josh, always love picking your brain and getting into the nitty gritty. So let's dive into this game. It's been a magical run for Illinois State. I went through who they've beaten, what the point spreads were. It is very unusual to see a Cinderella story like this in football. Illinois State now catching 10.5 against Montana State, a true blue blood, if you will, in the FCS. How do you break this game down, and is there an angle you're looking to bet tonight in Nashville?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a magical run for Illinois State. I think this would be akin to a 12 seed or lower going to the Final Four in NCAA basketball. You know, they were able to go on the road and win the four games that they did, and now they've got some time off to have thought about it, and they're lining up against a really, really strong Montana State group that is going to run the ball. They've got two explosive running backs, Adam Jones and Julius Davis, and their quarterback is a true dual threat option. And you had mentioned it, Dowler, the receiver, can score from anywhere on the field, and I look at Illinois State in in the four-game stretch that they had in the playoffs, they did really well defensively, uncharacteristically well. This is still a group that gave up 30 points to Eastern Illinois, 36 to North Alabama, 32 to Murray State, and 40 to Youngstown State. I think the Bobcats will gouge Illinois State on the ground, and they'll really lean on them in the second half. I look for Montana State to score in the 40s. If Illinois State wants to keep this game close late, they're going to have to throw the ball around with Tommy Rittenhouse. They're going to have to connect on deep shots to Daniel Sofkowitz, their stud receiver. They are really going to have to play magical football tonight in order to beat Montana State, or this could maybe go a little sideways.
Josh, did you bet this over the total of 56? If you think Montana State's going to score in the 40s?
I did. That was a play that I had put out. I had written up an article for Action Network, 3,000 words on this game, a real robust breakdown. Mm-hmm. And that's what the data showed out to me, was that the over has value. I think, we're starting to see a little bit of uptick here. This opened 54. It stayed stagnant for a little while, but really the movement today has taken off. This may close 59.
How did Illinois State get here? Can you explain that? This team 9-0 on the road against let's see, 1AA teams this season. But I watched Illinois State early in the season against Oklahoma, Josh, and it was pathetic. I think Tommy Rittenhouse had 22 yards passing on 13 attempts in that game, and maybe 150 yards total offense for the Redbirds. Obviously, that's a big step up in class. But you were talking about they're going to need a magical performance tonight. How did they get here?
So they had an up and down regular season. They were actually blown out by Southern Illinois by 30 points to close things out, which really mm-hmm. stalled any chances of them getting a seeded draw. And so they got their way in as one of the last four teams, and they had to go on the road and beat Southeastern Louisiana. And then in their second game, they played a familiar foe in North Dakota State. Tommy Rittenhouse threw five interceptions that day, and Illinois State was down two touchdowns with 3 minutes to go. They were able to punch in a score. They forced a turnover. And then they get the second score to tie it, and they decided to go for the win, ended up getting it. So to go to Fargo and beat North Dakota State despite five interceptions from Rittenhouse, that was really impressive. Then they get back on the plane, and they go to Cal Davis. UC Davis had a high-flying electric offense all season, and it was just a one-way beatdown for Illinois State. They had allowed an early score and then went 35-7 run to really take control of that game. And then the Road Warriors then hit the road to Philadelphia, where they were able to really put the finishing touches on their run by stalling out another magical run from Villanova, who had beaten Harvard and Tarleton State in order to get to that point. So they've beaten four really good teams, but I just wonder how much they have left in the tank for this one.
Illinois State, Montana State kick off in about 10 minutes or so down in Nashville, the FCS National Championship. We've got two semifinals coming up later this week. As we all know, Joshua Nunn from Action Network joining us here. I'm sure he'll break these down on the Big Bets on Campus podcast a little bit later on this week. You have Ole Miss and Miami right now. 51.5 is the total at most shops. You're looking at 3.5 or three, mostly threes out there. What are your numbers come out to on Miami, Ole Miss, and have you looked to bet anything yet in the first of two semifinals?
Well, my power rating numbers come out at 4.7, so there could be some theoretical value in Miami, but I like the first half under. We've seen the path for Miami in these playoffs to control the line of scrimmage, win at the point of attack, play good defense. We're not going to see a lot of explosivity out of the Canes, and I think their defense will be able to prevent explosive plays against Ole Miss. But in these playoffs, the halftime scores for Miami were 0-0 and 14-0. And that included a long interception return touchdown against Ohio State, as we all remember. But their defense in the first half, 7 of the 12 possessions that they've faced have resulted in punts. They've forced 3 turnovers. There's just been no scoring opportunities as the Canes have been very, very dialed in. I look for guys like Ruben Bain, Akeem Madozier to really just provide a lot of pressure to Trinidad Chambliss that we haven't really seen him had to face the last couple of weeks. And I just don't think the Ole Miss operation is going to look like it's looked the last couple of weeks in the playoffs against teams that could not provide an effective pass rush. I think it's a slow burning grinder to start things out. I like the first half under 25.5.
That's interesting. You alluded to the question I was going to ask you. So Kirby Smart really had that Georgia defense playing well at the end of the year, I think allowed 7.3 points over the final four games. Why was Georgia not able to get pressure on Trinidad Chambliss, and you think Miami is going to be able to do that, and he's not going to look like the dynamic playmaker he did against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, so two-part question. I think that Georgia's defensive line and their pass rush has left a lot to be desired really all season. Mm-hmm. We just have seen as these games have played out that this was not the vaunted dogs front that we've come to know and love under Kirby Smart. And really the sack numbers were down, the tackles for loss were down, but I just think that in the second half of these games, this some sort of switch flips in Trinidad Chambliss, and he can take these games over when there's no pass rush. He can wait for plays to develop. He can create ad lib off script, if you will. But I just do not see it happening against Miami. I look back at how Miami controlled the point of attack against Ohio State. They turned those offensive linemen into mincemeat for Ohio State, and I just don't think that Ole Miss will be talented enough up front to be able to prevent a pass rush, and we know you're not going to run the ball against this Miami front seven, and so it's going to be a lot tasked with Trinidad Chambliss to have to make magic and make plays. I think he can do some of it, but I don't think it'll be nearly as much. I just think we'll see the timing be off. He's going to have to get rid of the ball a lot quicker. Some of the magic and scrambling around back there, it's fun to watch on TV, but I just don't see that that is going to work against this Canes defense.
No, that's a very good analysis there. Actually, he reminded me a lot of Johnny Manziel, the way he was running around, making plays against Georgia, and you got to think the Miami defense is going to contain that a little bit. Josh, of the four teams left, and you sort of made a reference to it there, is Miami the strongest on the offensive and defensive lines of these four?
I think Miami looks very, very impressive in the trenches, and because of the talent that they have and the way that they've played on that side of the ball, I think they are the only team left that has a chance to beat Indiana. Indiana has proven it, especially factoring in some of the turnover that they had from last year's FBS playoff team. Kurt Cignetti has redefined the time frame that it takes to rebuild and reload. There's no more 2 or 3 year rebuilds. He has proven that you can do it in a year and a half. And I look at Indiana and how they impose their will at the point of attack, at the line of scrimmage against Alabama. You knew three drives into it that Alabama was never going to be able to move the ball on those guys. So Indiana was able to just run the ball 50 times, lean on their defense, get a couple turnovers, and it really, really snowballed. I don't think that Ole Miss would have a chance to resist anything that Indiana would want to do offensively. And frankly, we'll see it play out on Friday. I don't know that Oregon can either.
Yeah, real quickly, Josh, we got about 30 seconds. Oregon, Indiana, do you have a best bet in this game?
I'm still assessing kind of where we're at there. We're still early enough in the week. I did play a first half under 24.5, which is clearly long gone and no longer available. I would still lean under in the first half, but I just have no interest whatsoever in fading Cignetti. He, in prove it spots, has won time and time again. I think Indiana will win this game. Still will be a close game, but nothing would surprise me here other than Indiana winning this game by at least 6 points.
Step on a Duck One is where you can follow him on Twitter. Read him over at Action Network. Joshua Nunn, always appreciate it, man.
Likewise, guys. Appreciate it, and we'll see you again soon.
There he is. His breakdown of the FCS national title as well as the semifinals. We'll give you some thoughts on that as well as an update. Halftime in Columbus, the 10th-ranked Cornhuskers taking care of business so far.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
National anthem being sung down in Nashville, Tennessee, as Montana State and Illinois State get ready to go head-to-head for the FCS National Championship. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Our guest just a moment ago, Duck from the Action Network, said Illinois State, their run would be like a 12 seed, making it to the National Championship in March Madness.
Who was the 12 seed in the bracket this year? Was it James Madison?
Tulane? In the big boy? Yeah, the big boy one was James Madison.
So that'd be like James Madison making a run to the championship game.
Was he trying to say March Madness or the NCAA football tournament? Either one.
Oh, okay.
Either one is...
Well, I was just comparing football to football.
Yeah.
And if James Madison made the run,
that would be
a Cinderella
magic
story.
Maybe that's what he was. Maybe that's what he was talking about. If that were to come to fruition.
Well, you're talking about an Illinois State team that lost by 30 to Southern Illinois to finish the season. you talk about getting hot at the right time. That's the opposite. But somehow you lose by 30 and then get hot when you get into the playoffs. I think that the road record is what impresses me the most. Yeah. And that Ian McDonald, who does a great job of researching a lot of sports betting trends and stuff, was pointing out that all the road success Redbirds have had, 9-0 on the road against 1AA teams this season. But, Tim, I vividly recall watching the Illinois State-Oklahoma game early in the season.
Yeah.
And Tommy Rittenhouse and the Redbirds could not even move the ball against the Oklahoma defense in that game. And Rittenhouse had 22 yards passing. The Illinois State had 151 total yards. Obviously, the Oklahoma D is legit. That's a huge step up in class from what you're going to face in 1AA. But watch out. This Montana State offense, man, I've been really impressed when I've watched a couple of the playoff games for the Bobcats.
Yeah, it should be a fun one down there in Nashville. We'll be keeping our eyes on it. And a couple of sharp handicappers do like the points with Illinois State. You mentioned Kenny White and the Circa Friday Football Invitational. And also Big Randy McKay likes the points with Illinois State, too.
Kenny White, Big Randy, both on the underdog in tonight's game. If you have a game in Nashville, you got to have a big-name country singer doing the national anthem, right? Who is it?
Oh, I just assumed Stormy sang the national anthem.
Well, she's big name. I don't know if she can sing.
I don't know. We should ask JVT. I don't
Wes
know.
Wes Reynolds can sing. We know that.
He'll be on the show later. Maybe we'll make him sing.
Wes Reynolds, probably the
best singer at VSiN?
I would say the premier crooner at VSiN. He is, he's proven that. He's not afraid to put his talents on display. Sarah Evans. I'm trying to think of some big name country singers that could do
Suds in the Bucket. Sarah Evans.
Sarah Evans, always one of my favorites back in the day. Who else? Who's the?
I don't know, man.
One that does the Monday Night Football theme.
You talk about Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, well, she does Sunday Night. Waiting all day for Sunday Night.
Yes. So Carrie Underwood won.
She lives down there.
Did she win America's Got Talent or?
She was American Idol.
American Idol. Okay, I've never watched either show, but. Got a lot of talent.
She does.
Yeah.
Got a talented family. Her husband, longtime NHL player as well. You know who's also talented? The Madman, Chris Massaro. We like to poke fun at him all the time, but right now.
Who pokes fun at him? Who pokes fun at
the Madman? I mean, we call him the Madman. So
the Boston Strangler. And he is squeezing the life out of the competition.
Look at this.
The Circa Friday Football Invitational. Look at the standings here. Massaro.
Got hot.
Was he 5-2 with the best bet winner this week?
Five and two, yep.
72-52-2, 10-7-1 on the best bets, and he has opened up, some would say, an insurmountable 4.5-point lead over the Bear, Chris Velika, with 2 weeks to go. And by the way, fewer plays, so fewer opportunities for the Bear to make up ground in the final 2 weeks. It's going to be 3 plays this week and 3 plays next week. Kenny White still has 3 plays pending this week, so he could still jump up to standings. A little bit here, but Chris Massaro, Chris Velika, and Jason Jarvis, the top three. Scott Pritchard in fourth. Scott Pritchard is steady as it gets. He's there almost every year he's been there. Matt St. Marie, Kenny White, Frank Carulli, and Carl Sack, your top eight. And Jason Jarvis, really, really upset over the weekend, Tim. Really
upset. What happened?
He felt like Massaro was catching some lucky breaks on games. And, you know... maybe a little jealousy entering the fray there that Jarvis feeling like Massaro had lucked his way to a big lead in the standings this week.
Really? We got some smack talk going on?
Yeah. So Jarvis.
All right. I like it.
Kind of a high-strung guy, especially over the weekend when he feels like he's catching bad breaks and Massaro's catching good breaks and the whole world is against him.
I'm looking at Massaro's plays for this week. He didn't catch any fortunate breaks.
There was one game I think that Jarvis was really, really irritated about. What were the winners for Massaro?
The Madman had Chargers Broncos under 37.5. Mm-hmm. That was an easy winner. One. He had Niners plus 2.5, which was a loser. He had Vikings minus 8 versus the Packers.
Right side.
And the Packers kicked.
Oh, I know what he's upset about. He's upset about the Saints.
Oh.
But if you look at the box score. The Saints had a big yardage advantage in the game, and he really can't say I would not say I was a lucky winner. The wrong side, let's put it that way. I never felt comfortable with the Falcons if you bet that side.
No.
The Saints plus 3.5, I wouldn't classify that as pure luck.
By the way, the second half about to get underway, Nebraska and Ohio State. I took a small position pregame on Ohio State money line, and I'm back in on the Buckeyes, baby. Took a -3 in the second half, so full game +4. We'll see if the Buckeyes can get it together here in the second half and make it a game there in Columbus, Ohio. The red-hot Nebraska Cornhuskers. If you are at the water cooler.
Talk about Cinderella story.
Yeah.
The Cornhuskers on the hardwood, no question about it. I mentioned a couple things that scared me away from this game. Ohio State shoots 34% from three, which is, you know, middle of the pack or below average, 34%. You want a team to shoot in the high 30s or close to 40% from three. And Bruce Thornton is the guy. He's the motor for this Buckeyes offense, but or you could say the head of the snake. And if you cut off Bruce Thornton, you can beat the Buckeyes. And I think so far that's happened tonight. Look at this. Nebraska hits a three to open the second half and is up by 10. But the
compounding a loser into a double loser. Here we go.
Bruce Thornton had 34 points against Illinois on December 9th. You and I recall that game well. We were here that night.
Mm-hmm.
And the Buckeyes were chasing uphill the whole night. And I was thinking about that game. I said, I could actually see something similar happening here because they don't shoot threes at a high percentage. And if Bruce Thornton is not on, if he's not having a big game, you're in big trouble if you bet the Buckeyes tonight. And I think Thornton's only got 2 points at halftime. Is that right?
Yes, I think so.
He's about as good as any guard in the Big Ten. He is one of the best in the Big Ten, and he's having an off night.
By the way, Nebraska tonight, not shooting crazy from three. They're 6 of 16. They're not a great three-point shooting team. They're just 34% from long range. Are the Cornhuskers, but they've hit some big threes here. So far, Ohio State actually shooting a bit better from three. They're 6 of 15. But as you mentioned, Bruce Thornton right now, I think he just hit a three to start the half, so he's got 5 points.
Okay. Yeah, he just hit his first three tonight. So
ooh, a little pushing and shoving in the FCS title game. Here we go, baby.
By the way, the rebounding was another thing that concerned me. This Nebraska team is pretty strong. Actually, in the paint. And 21-14 rebounding edge for the Cornhuskers tonight. All right, back to football. Tommy Rittenhouse, the quarterback for the Redbirds, and this game is underway in Nashville. It's hard to believe, Tim, that Rittenhouse threw 5 picks and Illinois State won that game at North Dakota State.
Yeah. So we will see if the Cinderella story continues. There was a Cinderella story yesterday that concluded, not talking about the Steelers and Ravens game, which we will get to certainly as the show goes on, but how about UW River Falls, a team who hadn't been in the NCAA tournament since 1996, your Division III national champion. So maybe this is the year. We've got an unusual national champion coming in the FC and the FBS, and maybe the Cinderella story will continue in the FCS ranks. Just underway, Illinois State just got a first down, and we are down in Nashville here tonight. Matt, still to come tonight, and we can take a little bit more time on this, and we'll hit on it on the other side. Almost every game in the college basketball card is underway, except for USC and Michigan State. And on Friday night, we had USC close as a 22.5-point underdog, despite being ranked against Michigan, and it didn't matter. They lost by 30. Michigan State coming off the loss to Nebraska. Does Michigan State bounce back here as 10.5-point favorites?
Yeah, I stayed away from this game, too. Well, the thing about USC right now, they're a little bit shorthanded. Eric Musselman's not at full strength, and that's why I said there's, you know, a lot of times when you see a ranked dog getting that many points, it's going to be tempting to play it. But I did not want to play it because USC is not at full strength. And if you're gonna hang with Michigan, Tim, you better have all your bullets.
Michigan State.
If you're going to hang, no, I'm talking about Michigan on Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
And USC was getting that big number against Michigan. I said, you better have all your bullets or you're not going to be able to hang with the Wolverines. So that's one thing that bothers me. USC still a little bit shorthanded going into this game in East Lansing tonight. And off a loss, do you really want to bet against Tom Izzo?
Not really.
Not really. So I had to pass on this one.
That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. FCS National Championship underway. Michigan State and USC still to come. It is VSiN Primetime.
Thank you.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ohio State waking up a little bit at the under 16 media timeout. It is a 4-point game. The Cornhuskers still have the lead 43-39, but the live line is down to 1.5. Money line, Nebraska minus 20, Ohio State minus 110. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. We'll go behind the counter. Johnny Avella will join us. How are the wildcard weekend games being bet? How are the semifinals for the FBS National Championship being bet? We will get the answers coming up in just a little bit, Matt. But week 17, always week 18, I should say, Matt, always a unique time as a handicapper. Sometimes great value to be had. You can get some great closing line value. I ended up finding myself, man, and it worked out well, but it was not enjoyable. I ended up betting the Raiders and the Commanders yesterday, and both were outright winners. Because, well, it's week 18, of course.
I actually love week 18. Always have. Used to be week 17.
Yep.
But it's one of my favorite weeks to handicap. And, Tim, there were a lot of favorites on the board yesterday that looked really, really strong. And if you money line parlayed a bunch of those favorites, or even parlayed a bunch, you're going to hit some stuff yesterday. Talked about Vikings, Patriots, Broncos, Rams, you know, a bunch of big favorites that came through. You could have laid the points, and you were a winner.
Not the Bengals.
Not the Bengals. And if you're betting the Bengals, you probably deserve to lose at this point. If you haven't learned your lesson by now, you probably deserve to lose. But the Bengals do this over and over and over again. I'm so sick of Joe Burrow's nonsense. We'll talk about that later in the show, too. But I did play the Rams, -7. Talked about that on Mitch and Paul's show last week. I thought the Rams needed a get-right game before the playoffs. And they got it, but I tell you, there's still a lot about the Rams I don't like. And you and I were talking about the playoff matchups coming up. So we'll get to those. The Rams laid 7. I took the Steelers +3.5. I bet it again at +4. And then it went to 4.5. And I couldn't make sense of why the Ravens were drawing so much action before kickoff last night. And that turned out to be about as good a game number 272 as you're ever going to see. Just a wild finish on Sunday night in Pittsburgh. I did lose with the Bears. I lost with the Bears -2.5. And the Bears were down 16-0 yesterday to Detroit. And you're scratching your head going, wait a minute. This is not the same team I was watching in San Francisco a week ago when the Caleb Williams and the Bears offense going up and down the field. And you got to wonder, what do you make of the Bears going into the playoffs? You lose at home to a Lions team that had absolutely nothing to play for, unless you're going to say, well, they're playing for a winning record. They want to finish 9-8. Why weren't they playing for that the previous week at Minnesota when they still had a shot to make the playoffs? The Lions looked really good yesterday in Chicago, and the Bears, pretty disappointing. Ben Johnson was pissed off after that game, talking about his offense. And I think this makes this Packers-Bears game really intriguing coming up here in the wild card round, the third time we're going to see this matchup. And let's face it, the Bears were extremely lucky to win the game in Chicago a few weeks ago.
Bears lucky? No, Matt, come on. Never lucky.
No, but they're in week 18, there are points where you could lay really good numbers. Like, especially some of the money lines got steamed up big time. Patriots were steamed up from somewhere like -600 to 1,000 on the money line. If you laid 600, you got a hell of a deal. I talked about the Rams. You could have laid 7. That number closes
14.5.
So there are spots like that where you could really take advantage of in week 18.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It was the final game coming down to Steelers, Ravens, the back and forth in the fourth quarter, the busted coverages, Zay Flowers butt naked going into the end zone twice in the fourth quarter, a cornerback slipping, and then the missed extra point by, what did Tomlin call Boswell? An assassin?
Early in the year, a serial killer.
Serial killer. Actually. And then he misses his first extra point in, 3 years? To be topped by Tyler Loop missing a 44-yarder. I thought Harbaugh really did a terrible job, Matt, with clock management there. You had an extra timeout. Try to get a couple extra yards for your kicker. How about this stat regarding the Tyler Loop field goal? There have been over 60,000 field goal attempts in NFL history. Tyler Loop's miss on Sunday night is the only one of those attempts that came as time expired in the fourth quarter in the final week mm-hmm. with both teams' playoff hopes resting solely on the result of this kick. I mean, I don't know how the hell they looked that up, but kind of a weird oddity as the final game of the season came down to a kick by a rookie kicker, and it pushed right, and Mike Tomlin was very happy.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me that much. You're not going to have many opportunities right. where the last game of the season is going to be for everything you just talked about there. So I don't think that's actually shocking.
Yeah.
But Chris Boswell missing an extra point.
That was shocking.
Was shocking. And then John Harbaugh not running a play at the end surprised me. It didn't shock me, but it surprised me. I know coaches are really conservative. They're always afraid of what could happen, paranoid of a turnover. What happens if we hand the ball to Derrick Henry and he fumbles? And then people will say, why didn't you just kick the field goal? But I was surprised Harbaugh did not run one more play, then call the timeout, get his rookie kicker a little bit closer. But that kick had no shot. That kick just sliced badly right off the bat, and the kick had no shot last night. So what a wild finish to the Steelers-Ravens game and the way that division was won. Sammy Hoiberg, how about this? Fred Hoiberg's kid, the mayor's son, just picked off a pass, went the distance for a 360 windmill slam.
Did not 360 windmill slam.
I was just checking to see if you were paying attention.
Oh, I was paying attention
okay.
because what was happening was Ohio State was actually making a comeback. I was trying to be quiet because Matt tells me there's nothing worse than hope. And sure enough, as hope starts to come back, you get the son of the head coach picking off a pass at the middle of the floor.
If you've ever seen Sammy Hoiberg, you know he didn't throw down a 360 dunk. He's listed 6 feet. He looks like he's about 5'10". Tim, it was one of those high school layups where...
Did he smack the backboard, though?
I'm not even sure if he got his hand up as high as the backboard, but he laid it in, and the Huskers up 47-43. Buckeyes trying to rally here to open the second half.
Live line 2.5 right now. Moneyline Nebraska minus $1.66 plus $1.30 on the get back for Ohio State. Our game of the night is the FCS National Championship. Montana State on the doorstep right now of Illinois State as the ball is down to the 2-yard line for the Bobcats of Montana State. Illinois State had a promising first drive, but ultimately had to punt it back after a false start penalty. And now Montana State on their opening drive on the doorstep right now, trying to knock it in. And the Bobcats trying to take an early lead here against Illinois State in our VSiN primetime game of the night as the Redbirds of Illinois State taking on Montana State.
What do you think of Justin Lampson, the quarterback for Montana State? Because the last couple playoff games I watched, I said, I think he could start for about 5 or 6 Big Ten teams.
Didn't he start at Stanford? Yeah, he did. So yeah. He was at Stanford for a couple of years. I would imagine, Matt, I don't know this to be true, but I would imagine you will see his name in the portal after tonight's game, assuming they win. That would just be my guess. A guy, a true dual threat, 24 touchdowns, 3 picks, ran for 704 yards. Mm-hmm. You would imagine there would be interest for his services in the portal right now as, man, you hear some of these reports of the going rates of these quarterbacks. I mean, the most predictable thing ever was after watching the Orange Bowl that Texas Tech would go spend big on a quarterback.
Yeah.
And Brendan Sorsby is headed to Lubbock. He was being wooed by LSU, but ultimately money talks. And I believe the reports are being thrown out there. $5 million.
It's not college sports anymore, Tim. Unrestricted free agency, no salary cap. $5 million you can play for pay for a quarterback. I had heard, too, that Ryan Hyatt of Lubbock, Texas, a frequent guest on this show, pitched in some money.
I heard that, too.
Pitched in some money to get the quarterback after he predicted the Red Raiders would score.
What was that steakhouse? What was the steakhouse that Ryan Hyatt talked about?
Say Eddie's, something like that. Frank's, I don't know what it was, but
I heard they took him to that steakhouse. Storsby went to that steakhouse, and that sealed the deal. And then the check of $5 million.
Ryan said they were going to put up 27 points against Oregon, and they got shut out. So I think he said, time to pay for a quarterback. Going to ante up $5 million for a quarterback. That's just – and, you know, Michigan paid more for Bryce Underwood, and he's been a bomb.
Josh Hoover's going to get a big payday. I think 3 to 5 was the numbers being thrown out there. He goes to Indiana.
Indiana's got some money to spend now.
Buddy.
Indiana's spending more than most SEC teams. By the way, Justin Lampson runs this one in. Bobcats on the board first, 7-0. Lampson actually went to Syracuse, redshirted, never played there, did start a few games at Stanford before he went to Montana State.
So he, I believe, still has eligibility left. So we'll see if after a national title.
Diego Pavia can play 8 years. I mean,
Trinidad Chambliss might be coming back as well. Just a reminder, folks, head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro and get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today, VSiN.com/subscribe. We go behind the counter. Johnny Avello joins us next.